First, I'd like to thank and acknowledge two of the PIs on this project, Michelle Issel and Betty Beckmeyer, for giving me the opportunity to come out to APHA and present our findings. My name is Jillian Edwards. I'm a doctorate of nursing practice student at University of Washington in Seattle, and I'm also a lecturer at University of Washington Tacoma campus. Wow, this thing has a mind of its own. Okay. I have no disclosures to make, and a quick overview of what I'm going to present today. We're going to look at the background of CRISP and also of the salary survey, and then we're going to briefly discuss the methods that we use to analyze the data, and then look at implications for the future future process. Now, CRISP, as you can see, it's both an acronym and a name, and it stands for Keeping RNs to Improve and Strengthen Population Health. And really, the purpose of CRISP is to improve the recruitment and retention of public health nurses to health departments. And the goal is that with quality improvement councils, we can help reduce nurse errors and improve the safety and prevent harm for populations. And this was developed using the HRSA grant, and it's a joint venture between University of Illinois Chicago and University of Washington. And this thing is, I guess it's tired as well. So we're going to look at the relevance. And as we know, there's a global nursing shortage that's going on. And we know that a lot of our nursing population, they're aging and they're retiring. And this means there's less nurses in the public health sector. And this, unfortunately, it decreases the focus on prevention and health promotion, and it places vulnerable and marginalized populations at risk for negative health outcomes. And with the lack of public health nurses in the workforce, we have a greater risk for early death, chronic health illnesses such as mental health, and maternal child care. Maternal child health will also have some issues as well. There we go. Oh. Now, anecdotally, there's always been a general wisdom that public health nurses are compensated less than hospital nurses. But really, before we can define what the problem is, before we can create a solution, we have to define what the problem is. And few, if any, studies have looked at whether or not hospital nurses get paid more than public health nurses or vice versa. Now, this study is a descriptive study, and basically we used things like means and ranges to look at the extent and quantify the differences between hospital nurses and health department nurses. And our sample that we used, as Michelle discussed earlier, we used three counties in Illinois and three counties in Washington State, and these are the CRISP counties. And we obtained data from both hospitals and health departments. And, a total of 10 hospitals and 6 health departments were used. And the range of the hospitals that were surveyed was 0 to 4, with half of the counties averaging about 4 hospitals each. And one county was excluded because there was no comparable data in the county. And as I said, we used means and standard deviation and ranges, and we looked at absolute differences between the hospital and the health departments. Now, let's take a look at our findings that we have. And as you may have guessed, the area that we saw the greatest differences was in salary. And the average base salary for a new grad RN was about 17%, or roughly about $4 higher in hospitals. The base salary range in health departments for new grads was about $16 to about $24 an hour. And the base salary range for hospitals was about $21 to about $30 an hour. The differences in the average salary between the health departments and their corresponding hospitals tended to get bigger with the more nursing experience that the nurses had. And this was the case in about 4 out of 6 of the counties that we sampled. And the average wage for nurses with about 15 to 18 years of experience at a health department was about $22 an hour, and hospitals paid an average of about 37% higher, about $35.18. So as we can see, hospitals tended to pay more with longer years of experience, unlike the health departments that we sampled. And health departments tend to offer smaller pay raises with years of employment, and this created a greater discrepancy in pays with years of experience. We also looked at how pay was allocated based on the areas of education, training, and leadership, and we found some interesting findings. Both hospitals and health departments provided compensations in these areas, but in different ways. For example, in the area of education and training, health departments tended to compensate more for a BSN-prepared nurse, and the hospitals did not. Hospitals tended also to compensate for specialized certification, but health departments did not. And three of the health departments provided an average of about a dollar more an hour for BSN-prepared nurses, but hospitals didn't provide any sort of differential for the BSN nurses. And six hospitals out of 10 provided pay for specialized certifications. Now, in the area of leadership, health departments tended to compensate more for supervisions, but hospitals not as much. And hospitals tended to compensate for preceptors, but health departments not as much. And health departments paid an average of about 49% more for nurse supervisors compared to hospitals. And about 70% of the hospitals paid an average differential of about $1.14 an hour for preceptors compared to one health department that paid about 50 cents an hour in an extra. Now, we look at the area of benefits. Both health departments and hospitals equally provided a full complement of benefits, such as medical, dental, 401ks, IRAs, life insurance, disability. So there really was no differences in the benefits that they provided. In the area of education, health departments appeared to slightly favor education more. Yay! Compared to hospitals. All of the health departments provided continuing education reimbursement, but only 70% of the hospitals offered any sort of continuing education reimbursement. And the health departments also offered slightly more tuition reimbursements compared to their local hospital counterparts. Now, in our study sample, there's a disparity in salary that favors hospital nurses. The difference in average between the health departments and their correspondent hospitals tended to get bigger with more nursing experience. This was the case in about 4 out of 6 of the counties that we surveyed. And hospitals tended to provide longevity pay. The longer, more experienced the nurse, the greater the salary compared to health departments. Now, salary is very important, but recent and current literature shows that it may not be the most important factor in the recruitment retention of nurses. Now, since the health departments appear to offer or favor education more over hospitals, we saw that in tuition and continuing education reimbursement, and we saw that in the differential pay for BSN nurses as well. Now, however, the general overall salary offered at health departments was much less than hospitals, regardless of their educational degree. In a recent study conducted by Erickson, she surveyed hospital nurses and found that hospital nurses were seeking advanced educational degrees and specialized certifications, which led to an increase in job satisfaction and retention. Now, if salary is a barrier for health departments, but educational support helps mitigate the salary barrier, what are the other factors that have been and will continue to recruit more public health nurses into health departments? If health departments pay less, what keeps our public health nurses at the health departments? Something for us to think about. Now, salary may play an important role in the retention and recruitment of RNs, but as I said, there may be other confounding factors that are equally important and influences job satisfaction. More research is needed. We need more research to combat the lack of evidence regarding nurse compensation in our health departments. Possible areas that we can explore is, for example, what are the links between nursing salary, recruitment, and retention? And how important is salary in the recruitment and retention of our public health nurses? Now, many studies have been completed. Okay, you know, it's the end of the day, so let's go back. There we go, and I'm not touching it. Many studies have been completed on the retention and recruitment of hospital RNs, but we lack data for health departments. We need to survey our public health nurses, our public health leaders, and find out what exactly those confounding factors are and how important salary is. And you know, with more research, hopefully this will help promote the retention and recruitment of our public health nurses. Here are some references. Now, thank you for your time. And
questions for any of our four presenters?
Martha?
Crisp counties talked exactly about that, just not related to these two little study pieces, but in general we're finding that counties, to keep positions and monies, they are doing that kind of shifting, and yes, it is problematic when they're sort of reconfiguring the job description so that it doesn't specify the need for a nurse or nursing skills, nursing knowledge, as a way to sort of, and particularly for the rural counties, we hear anecdotally that where they can't get nurses to the rural counties, but they've got a health educator, an outreach worker, they readjust so they've got a body to do something. So I do think that that speaks to, we don't have the sort of the nurse aide, nurse administrator, manager and administrator, we don't have career ladders in public health the way that you do, and therefore we don't think that way. And that might begin to address some of that problem, I think.
Richard?
It all depends on where you're at, because there are openings. And one of the things we're doing in the LEAP project, one of the things we're just started working on, is a sort of toolkit for students in how to find a job in public health. Because we get that question too, you know, what kinds of volunteer experiences, how could I, you know, build my resume to make it more interesting for a public health position. And so we're actually going to be working on that over the next few months, and hopefully maybe in the spring you'll see something on the website about that. And but it does depend on where you are.
The supervisors in the area tell me that they don't want nurses to have, the new grads to have experience. They don't want them to go to the hospital and have to reset their mind. They want them right for a job, but there are no jobs, there are no openings.
Well, I think I would reiterate what Susan just said. There are jobs, but they not in the urban areas. The students are going to have to leave and move. And I think to start in a rural area is not a bad thing, particularly when you think about the amount of autonomy that you have in that kind of a setting. So if you're not, you've got to not be place bound would be my first recommendation.
But I think it is a concern, because I think the number of overall positions may be going down, particularly with the recession and the kinds of difficulties that public sector organizations are having in keeping their jobs filled. I mean, keeping from losing positions. Susan, that's fine.
First of all, I want to thank you and your team, because I am implementing some of the things that
Great.
Took place online for everybody to use.
Great.
And I actually moved from one position to another position in a different school, and so they were excited about what I had tried to do in another place. So we are implementing that small subset of health departments that are able to. That's the big problem, is that the staffing. Mm-hmm. But I have found working very closely there, and I'm developing a really strong relationship with the nurse manager in there, finding some issues with what those projects should be. So do you have any suggestions for that?
Well, I would just hope that you hold on a little while, because this new wiki site is going to be really very good in terms of all kinds of ideas for actual field experiences that students have done. It's going to be organized by the public health intervention, so if you want to focus one on advocacy, you can search on that. It's going to have the competencies in there, so you could search on a particular competency area. So I think it's really going to be more helpful. You know, our first round was have limited use, I think, but this next round is going to be a lot more helpful. We've got a student who's uploading it with probably several years worth of suggestions, so that should be helpful. And that's something that anybody would be able to add to. So if you, we're actually, some of our schools are using as part of the assignment for the field project, is that they have to then write it up in the format that we have and upload it onto that website. So.
Somebody from this side. Oh, I just wanted to ask Susan to piggyback on that. I teach in Northern California, and our health department laid off the majority of the PHNs, and their studies show that local health departments was associated with interest, so, you know, now we can't place them there without any PHNs. So in your study, were they with PHNs in the LDH, or were they with other creative ways that you benefited from experience?
Yeah. I don't have specific data about these specific students, but I do know that from our schools of nursing in this state, the 18 schools of nursing, they're roughly half divided into a preceptor model, where all of the students are matched with a preceptor in whatever agency they're with for their clinical experience, and there might be a clinical instructor sort of in the background, but not there on site all the time, versus another half of the students actually have clinical instructors who go to the site with a group of students. So they're roughly divided 50-50 that way. I would say that most of them, fortunately, right now in Wisconsin, we do still have local health departments that have public health nurses who work there. And so I think a lot of them do get to work with a nurse, not solely. I mean, I think they get experiences with a sanitarian and with, you know, health educators and other kinds of things in the local health department. But I don't know, we're losing positions too, and it's very, very concerning to all of us, I think.
Yeah, behind her.
I might have missed something in your study. Can you take it another step and ask those that expressed mild or
no, again, this was it was three questions on an online survey. I wanted to keep it short and sweet to try to get as many students as I could to actually answer it. So I just don't have that information. It's a good idea, though.
I just had a little brainstorm around the lack of job piece. If you think about the Affordable Care Act and the way in which so much of it is focused on health promotion, and the ways in which community hospitals are going to have to be doing community assessments, et cetera. I think while we don't traditionally think of those as public health nursing jobs, those are. And I think if we come to those positions with our population focus, those could be some very innovative and leading roles for our students.
Yeah. I was interested in asking the sixth or sixth public health department study that went between Washington and what was yesterday?
Illinois. Well, it would make it sexy to us, but I don't know that it would make it sexy to the county commissioners, all right? So we have to sort of think about our practice from the point of view of what is the philosophy of our practice, and then how do we implement that through our standards? So if you think about how could I possibly do social justice if I'm not thinking outcomes for populations, for example? So,
we have left it off. The challenge has been that to be a social entity, we have always the government. And yet, if you look at government, they have gotten practically everything they put out there.
Well, you can also think social justice for the public health nurses if you think about the salary compression and the lack of valuing of us working with marginalized groups. That's an alternative perspective there.
And also, too, you know, if you think about the day-to-day work of a public health nurse, it's, you know, it's more than wearing multiple hats. I think all too often a lot of the public health nurses, I myself, I'm guilty of it, we kind of forget why we're doing what we do. And we forget about social justice and health inequalities. And if we, you know, remind our colleagues, you know, why do we do the things that we do, I think that helps make us more visible. You know, talk up public health nurses at conferences and, you know, in the grocery store. Let people know what we do and why we do. I think that goes a whole lot way to getting the word out. Talk to our policymakers about social justice and how public health nurses has a role in changing our population.
And Rich, sure, Danielle, you have a question? Yes.
Okay, my question is regarding what Michelle Lisa talked about. I signed up for a job with certain amount of job descriptions, right? And during my 6 years of practice, I've worked on two of those programs in New York City. It's become increasingly going bigger and bigger, my duties and my duties. And I do case management, I input documentation in the TV registry, I do clinical work, which has to do with monitoring people's treatment, sputum collection, phlebotomy. Is there any entity that monitors, makes sure that people are following the job description? Because sometimes I see supervisors, and not necessarily nurses supervisors, they're directors who are following their own interests, and they're not really seeing nursing satisfaction.
Right. There's one of the things that was a real eye-opener for me in doing this study was how little there is in the HR literature about the use of standards and competencies to guide job descriptions. There's a fair amount, but you have to get really into the management HR literature about how to do employee evaluations. But again, there's very little of that linked back to professional standard implementation. And so I think what you're describing in terms of a sort of job responsibility drift that doesn't match up with job description drift, and neither of those are aligned with performance evaluation. I mean, one of the major reasons to have job descriptions is for employee evaluations, right, and employee growth and facilitation, et cetera, and career advancements. And if none of those are aligned, you have a real disconnected HR system. And so I think for me, this was a real eye-opener on how public health nurses really need to figure out how to work with the unions to get the job descriptions, performance evaluation, and wages connected. And that's a big task, but unless we work with our unions to figure out that, and we work with the HR departments and say, good HR practice, there is HR literature that says good HR practice links job description with performance evaluation with raises, right? I think we need to sort of begin to just raise those questions and begin to work collaboratively with those in the organizations who do those things. I feel like I've just gotten a teeny glimpse, you know, into the box, which I think is big but really important.
One more question.
My question has to do with standards issue and disaster risk. And again, you know, maybe it's because I'm from Texas, but you know, when big disasters happen, everything else goes out the window. So I was just wondering if that came up.
Those who were in the room that helped me with this with job description, I don't think any of the job descriptions had anything really in there about preparedness. It would usually show up on job specification as it has to do with mandatory on call, which is I think where the preparedness comes in, and other job duties as assigned, which is a really bad HR thing to put in there, right? And our ANA standards for public health nursing say nothing about preparedness. And so I would expect that, or hope, because that's a pretty unique role. All of the directors of nurses in all six counties take command control, right, on a regular basis. And yet that's nowhere in our standards of practice about being the point person in a disaster. And I think nurses play a huge role, and that's totally missing in the standards and then in the job description. So, good point.
Okay, that's about all of our time. Thank you for coming out, and have a great evening. Thank you.